Welcome back to the Goalie Corner, presented by One Stop Goaltending. I'm Coach Michael, and today we are here with Logan Kluche and Billy Cawthorn. And today's topic is going to be how parents can help develop their goalies, mainly minor hockey parents, right? So why don't we take a quick team vote? This is probably something we should have done beforehand, but do we want to go by like age group or just kind of like lump a couple age groups in together? Or we can just say like beginner, intermediate, advanced.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'd go beginner, intermediate, advanced. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Who wants to start it off here with their hottest take on how parents can help develop their goalies?
I got a hot take.
Well, we don't need hot takes, but yeah.
Well, it's not really a hot take, but it's just like, I think looking back at my hockey career, that I could have been a lot better athlete if I actually did other things, such as like, I don't know, gymnastics or baseball or whatever, especially at a younger age. And
when did you first, when did you first start playing goalie?
I started playing goalie when I was like 6.
Oh, so like right away.
Yeah, I played like 1 year player. Like gotcha. Switch like back and forth.
And you just never played any other sports?
Like I played lacrosse for a bit. I played soccer too. Like I played other sports, but then by the time I was like 9 or 10, I was already just like hockey full time.
Gotcha. Is that the same sort of thing with you, Logan?
Yeah, for the most part. So I started playing hockey my first year at them. Like that was my first time. I played 1 year player and I was like, nope, this isn't for me. And then I switched over to goalie right away. And played like on that Adam development team or whatever it's called now. I have no idea. And then it just kind of ran from there. I was lucky enough that I had a couple friends like right across the street from me, and they would just throw me in net and shoot tennis balls and hockey balls, you know, those like orange whatever, at me all day. And I loved it. So it was pretty much a given for me. Yeah.
So Billy's take here, like number one thing, I think it goes up until maybe you're like 15, like cross training with other sports during the off season, whatever the off season might even look like now, who knows. I think that's number one, like get cross-trained, learn how to use your body in every different sports, different situations, and be somewhat cognitive of how would that even translate back to being a goalie, right? And or just go be a kid, have fun playing other sports, right?
For me, I think it's a big mental component to it. Like when I started like really like just playing all the time, even in the summertime, like I was always just so stressed about hockey all the time at a young age. Like it's like, I don't know. I didn't know how to control that, I guess. So it took me a long time to like learn.
We interrupt this episode to introduce the shutout stick, a triumph in goaltending showcased proudly on your wall. This meticulously crafted masterpiece not only holds the essence of your saves, but also cradles three iconic game pucks. Celebrate your victories with the display of prowess. A shutout stick is more than a symbol. It is a conversation starter, a testament to your dedication between the pipes. Showcase your journey. Relive those moments. Elevate your space with the shutout stick. Where legacy meets design, secure your memories, secure your victories. Order now at onestopgoaltending.com and let your wall tell your goaltending story. Back to the show.
Whereas I think if I just like you said, went to go be a kid and like played other sports or hung out with my friends in the summertime when I was like 10 years old, it would have been, or spring hockey, you know, like I think spring hockey is good. But then I was just like, I don't know, I was always just consumed with hockey. And I think, I mean, you listen to professional players talk and they always talk about how they have to like shut it off at least, you know, at least for like a month, like just nothing, you know. Like, yeah, they still might go to the gym or whatever, but like they're
They're
not focused
mentally
on it.
taking a break, right? And I think that's when you play another sport. I think soccer is kind of the easiest one to go hand in hand with hockey just because it is the opposite season. You're mentally checked out from hockey, which is perfect, right? You don't need to be mentally checked in 12 months out of the year. For me, for the beginner age group, I think it for parents to help with their kids is learning the position itself to the extent where when your kid tells you what they're working on, you understand it instead of trying to be the goalie coach itself, right? You can make observations, and we'll get into it in a little bit, maybe with the intermediate, but make observations and say your piece to how they can get better. But if they're looking at you as a parent and you might tell them, well, I've never been a goalie, but here's what you do. Well, you just told them you've never been a goalie, so why would they take your advice? Right? If you already told them that. So if you're saying, hey, I've never been a goalie, but let's learn together. Oh, this is what I learned today off YouTube or whatever, right? I think you should try this in your game. That's coming across a little differently then, right? Like my dad, even when I was playing pro, told me to stand up, stand out. And I'm like, no, my game is down low and in tight. Like I was low style goalie. I made everything down in front of me as a save, rarely getting beat up high, but it's because this puck's coming low when I was going to save it, right? Like that's just who I was. And he just didn't grasp that until I sat down with him and talked him through it essentially. But it was like 15 years of him telling me the same message. I was like, yeah, okay. Thanks. Thanks for coming. Right. But for a beginner goalie, like we just want them to get past the early struggles of learning how to move with pads, understanding the difficulties of it, and seeing the fun in it to last, to get past that stage, right? Like, Logan and I touched on it way earlier before recording. There was a brand new goalie at one of our summer camps. And the first day, we didn't know what to expect with him. So we kind of just threw him into the fire. Didn't love it. I think we can all say he came off pretty disheartened. But by the Friday, the last day, he's been fully invested ever since. And it's coming from the kid. The dad was there to support and make sure that he was, hey, no, you're doing this. Like, you're committing to it. You're signed up for it. So, like, you have to be here. And it was up to, like, the coaching to make sure that he was understanding and he was making the small progressions instead of looking around, seeing other kids that have done it for longer and being like, well, why can't I do that yet? And it's like, well, they took a year to get there, right? You're still in the beginning stages. Like, we're developing the concepts in your mind and trying to make sure that, hey, to do a butterfly slide, like, are you wearing your equipment right? Yeah. Okay. This is how you transfer the power, right? And slowly integrating that into now you can do a full butterfly slide where we don't have to talk to you or point out stuff or manipulate how your skate's pushing or being on the ice, right? Which is awesome, right? It's kind of feel good for us when the kid gets to that point. But is there anything else parents can do to help the beginning stages of goalies?
So I've got a couple things there. Just going back to that one goalie that we had in the summer. Now a couple months, few months later, he's doing awesome, right? Like he's skating better. He understands what I say to him, you know, like if I say butterfly slide, like he knows what that means, so, which is amazing. So you know, like it definitely takes a little bit of time. Now, going back to anything that parents can do, my only thought there was understanding who your kid is and how hard to push them. And then going off of that is understanding like the correct equipment for kids as well, right? Because you don't want to throw your kid in it, like I totally understand, oh yeah, they'll grow into their pads or whatever, but if you've got a whatever 8-year-old kid, or and I'm just making this up, but if you've got an 8-year-old kid and they're in 30-inch pads, it's not going to work too well for them, right? Like, and they're going to get frustrated because they can't move and they can't skate. So, you know, like understanding that side of things as well. Same goes for like pants and chest protector. Gloves you can get away with, I guess. But like pants and chest protector and even stick. Like when I first started, I, you know, like my parents were completely new to it, and I had a stick that was way too big for me. And like, how did I know? Like, or how did they know? Right. Yeah. So, you know, like understanding that side of things as well, I think is important for especially like the beginner side of things.
Now, I feel like I should have made a disclaimer way at the beginning, but this is not parenting advice at all. None of us have a kid. At least I don't think so. Billy, you have anything to give to tell us? No? Okay. None of us have a kid. We've just been coaching for a while. And when your kid's at home, he's totally your kid. He's not one of our goalies at all, right? So this is all coming from a coach's eye. Extremely privileged in the sense of only being able to work with kids a couple hours here and there, and we think we know everything. We don't. This is just coming from a goalie perspective. We've all had parents, very different parents in hockey, and that's essentially where our experience and knowledge is coming from today. Is that fair?
Yeah, 100%. That's fair. I think a cool thing to kind of touch on too is like my mom loved hockey and dad played a little bit, but you know, neither of them were goalies. So like you said, Mike, your dad was my goalie. I don't know about
my mom definitely wasn't. No,
I don't know about you, Logan, but so I can definitely relate to I guess that side of things where it's like when your kid, like, I think one tip I guess is that I'd say for parents is don't be afraid to like talk to goalie coaches or even just like older goalies and just be like, hey, like what kind of equipment should I like size, or can you help me with this? Or like, is this stick too big? Or, you know, is your helmet rattling around? Can you see through your helmet kind of thing? I had a dad come up to me this summer and, you know, he got me to look at his kid's pads and everything. And unfortunately I had to tell him, yeah, I think they're a little small, you know, his knees sliding off the knee rise that air. And like, I know you're probably like, I'm gonna have to spend $1,000, but you know, for the safety of your son, I think, you know, you should probably get him new gear. And he really appreciated it. He was like, you know what, that's what I thought, I just wanted to like get your opinion, double check, you know. And you know, you just sent me a picture I think about a month ago now of his kid in his brand new gear and how happy he is and all this stuff. And you know, for me that was really cool, because I was just like, hey, like, you know, this is, he didn't have to come up to me and ask, but he felt like I knew what I was talking about and trusted my opinion, and obviously moved on from there. And even like on the ice, like I could tell that his, you know, his son was kind of struggling, because every time he went down, his knee was like almost hitting the ice, you know? So like, his pads are too small for him. And I think just little things like that, sometimes as a kid talking about when I was younger, you know, we're, and again, yeah, the huge disclaimer, we're not parents, but like, you know, I don't know, some kids are shy and timid and they don't want to say, hey, dad or mom, you know, it really hurts when the puck hits me, actually. You know, like I was one of those kids. Like I didn't want to tell my mom that or dad that, like, yeah, I think I need a new glove or something. Like, I keep getting hit and it really hurts, you know? So I don't know, just being aware of kind of what's going on the ice, I guess, and seeing those things is like huge to like help, especially equipment wise, I guess, kind of like what Logan said, equipment wise, because that's going to make a huge difference in your game, like in their game. Sorry. But like, I speak about my own game, like switching equipment as an older goalie and junior as in college, and finding what I liked and what I didn't like, and really feeling a difference when I went to practice or when I played a game, because I was comfortable in the gear. So I could move around fluidly and everything. And even as a 20-year-old, if I tried on gear and I felt uncomfortable or stiff, I'd be so frustrated and mad and like just want to get off the ice, you know, all the pucks are going in and just like so frustrating. So like, that's as like a grown person, like when you're just a kid, like, I don't know, you get even more frustrated because you don't understand. You're like, why is this not fitting? And my glove's falling off and all that stuff. So yeah. I don't know. I think we can all agree with that, you know, as kids just don't hold their emotions as well as, you know.
I can argue that maybe adults don't hold their emotions as well as kids do sometimes.
But I mean, it goes both ways.
I think, I think it goes both ways.
So for the beginners, it's kind of just like, obviously it's pretty rare to have like a goalie dad or a goalie coach as a dad. Those people are probably not the people we're talking to at all today, but
which arguably can be even more detrimental. Like,
right. But that's a whole other thing. We're kind of just talking to the masses right now in the sense of, okay, you're a new parent. Maybe hockey's new to you. Maybe just not hockey, but maybe just goaltending's new to you.
Right.
And it's, there's so much information on YouTube just to how to gear how to size the gear up and how to stand, how to do this. Like, pretty much every goalie coach has got a YouTube page or Instagram that they're just pumping out videos of little how-tos, and everybody always starts with the basics. So there's probably like a couple hundred videos on how to do a layered stance, and it's all the same, right? And then it's from there, it's how do you communicate? Like, the kid's in a totally different brainwave than anyone else on the ice. So how do you communicate the game to them, right? Is it really just being set and being in your stance the whole time, or is there a little bit more that they need to pay attention to, right? And that aspect, I would say, if the parent can grasp that sort of communication skill, that's pretty huge, right? Like, I was not terrified of my dad, but I definitely didn't share everything with my dad when I was playing. Like, there was one time I sat going back to gear, but we'll move on from gear pretty quickly here. There's one time I would probably at the end of the season, like, spring hockey just wasn't a thing for the first couple of years I was in, I almost want to say peewee. And so the gear just sat in the basement for the whole summer. And there's like a week before tryouts or a week before spring camp or not spring camp, week before goalie camp, where we would try on everything. All right, like, oh, that still fits, that doesn't fit. He would tie my skates so tight, like so tight that it would be painful. And then he gets a phone call. And so he walks upstairs and I'm kind of on an island of carpet, nowhere close to the stairs. So I'm sitting there, skates are just tied, extremely tight. Skates don't fit, toes absolutely crunched at the bottom. And I'm like, well, he's going to want to like do the test where I lean forward. He puts a finger down the heel to see if there's any room. And then so like, I just can't move because he's on the phone. I don't know how long his phone call is going to take. It must have been 45 minutes. And my mom comes downstairs. She's like, where's my son? And I just got tears coming down my cheeks. And she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, well, dad left. Like, he told me not to move. So I didn't move. She goes, well, how do the skates feel? I'm like, not good. And then so she yells at my dad to come down, and it was a whole thing. And I ended up in new skates, so like, whatever. But like, I was like, I'm not telling him because I'm not untying my skates because I'm in pain. I'm just going to let him figure it out for me. But I think if you're able to communicate, it's pretty big. Might save a kid crying about skates. Childhood trauma. All right, let's move on. Like, I think beginners is pretty self-explanatory. Like, if your kid expresses interest in it, I think put them in some goalie stuff. Don't just throw them in the net willy-nilly, but make sure they have the proper equipment so they don't get hurt and discouraged, or they don't try to do something they're not supposed to and get hurt by hitting the ice in an awkward spot. And then just learn a little bit of the lingo and learn a little bit of what the stuff is, and then just let your kid come to you asking for advice, sort of thing. Intermediate. I think this is the trickiest one because it's like the in-between of you're a beginner, you're coming out of it, you're able to do all the movements, you're able to do all the stuff. You've probably been playing a year and a half, 2 years of goalie, maybe trying out for rep teams. But you haven't like quite grasped the dominance side of it yet, right? So this is a bit tricky. This is also where like the parent politics come in, which everybody loves. What do you think, Bill? What's your advice for intermediate level goalies and parents?
I'd say parents, you gotta instill confidence in your kid. Like, if like after a tryout, no matter what. Here's a story for you. Super vulnerable. Got cut for the first time. Had a Gatorade after the game. Just whipped it at my mom's van. Completely dented the back door. Freaking out. Never been cut in my life.
How old were you?
Like 14, I want to say. So maybe a little older. Like maybe this, like between intermediate and advanced, maybe. But like, you know, right around when me and you met, actually, Mike. And that's another story. But, you know, let's just say I was a very competitive, hot-headed guy. And anyways, I learned. But, you know, I think my mom honestly did a great job. Like, I don't know how she, like, if honestly, when I have kids one day, if that happened, oh, I don't know what I would do. But she just, you know, she sat me down. We were driving home from Kelowna. She just said, it's okay. You know, you need to believe in yourself. You're a good goalie. If you, you know, keep freaking out like this and, you know, being a spaz, you're just going to get worse and it's not going to get any better. And basically, and she literally, and just, I remember driving, it's like a 30-minute drive, looking out the passenger window and just thinking, you know, yeah, I was upset. I was frustrated and didn't really, hockey was my life. But I just remember getting home and thinking, you know what, from here, like, I need to start working harder and, you know, put more effort into just getting better. And I need to, like you said, I need to believe in myself. I went into, from that point, from before that, I always, like, I don't know, I put a lot of pressure. I feel like as a goalie and as you get better, especially in your second or third, fourth year as goalie, you put so much pressure on yourself at these tryouts to make the teams, and you know, you're like, I need to make this team, or like, you know, hockey's your life. But you know, you don't really understand that there's so much more to life than hockey, I guess. So as a parent, I think
it sounds like you're putting pressure on yourself based on what others were saying about you instead of going internally and looking at the and feeling it, the more self-confidence instead of people telling you what you are.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. But I think it took my mom saying that to me to kind of realize that, I guess.
Right.
And develop it.
So, counterpoint, bit of a devil's advocate here, is instilling confidence the same as giving false confidence?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you need to have some critical feedback too. You know, if you're, I think as a goalie, if you're being really successful, you can't get too high. And that's, you know, that's what I had. I was too high. I thought that I was, you know, yeah, I put a lot of pressure on myself, but I thought that I was like the absolute best. But I was, you know, just at that point, I was just a big fish in a small pond. You know, there were so many goalies in so many places. And I think that, you know, that's, you know, kind of a counterpoint too. I think my mom probably didn't even really realize that I was like, whatever, just because, you know, she would take me to the rink, watch me play, whatever. But like, I think if she would have said, hey, you can't get like too arrogant, I guess is the word, or like, don't get too cocky, you know, like just, you know, you need to work hard, keep working hard and stuff. Like, that's also like.
She was managing like, your expectations, right? She was also playing. She was managing the mental side of who you are, not necessarily your game, but make sure you didn't get too egotistical. Make sure you still had confidence in yourself, but were somewhat humble.
You didn't
didn't take it for granted.
That's what I'm trying to say, though, is I think I definitely did take it for granted until that moment, you know, until that kind of moment that happened. So I think for parents at the intermediate level, it's just, I don't know, you know, exactly the best way to go about it, but like, just make sure that, you know, your goalies are still enjoying playing. And if they are, like, I was definitely enjoying playing. I love playing, but I definitely took things for granted at where I was at the time.
So I'll jump in and give my 2 cents on that. I think that you hit it spot on. It's the mental game, right? By 2 years in, you kind of know how to do everything well. It's making it better. And then it's learning the mental side of the game. When you're U13 and U15, like, you might not be on great teams. You might be getting a lot of shots on or peppered. And it's really easy to look in a team sport at the goalie when you lose 6-0, right? It's hard to look at the rest of the team, and it just feels like you're the guy who dropped the ball. I don't know why that happened.
So to go off of that, as you're the guy that dropped the ball, and, you know, like, you got shelled for 6 goals or whatever, it's also like other parents and not taking that personally, right? Like, there's going to be other parents on your team, the parent of a forward who scores 3 goals or whatever, and then you let in 6 goals, and that parent is like, well, if we had a goalie, we would have won, kind of thing, right? Like, so there's also that aspect to it, as well as both a player or a goalie and as a parent, right? Because you can't take those types of things personally. Like, and there's always going to be those people, right? Like, always. Doesn't matter what team you play on or what level you play on. Like, you can be playing in the NHL and they'll still be saying the same thing, right? Like,
so,
and I mean, the counterpoint would be if you play really well as a goalie, and then, you know, your team doesn't score, and the goalie parents is like, well, if we would have scored, then, you know, so
yeah,
I think it just goes both ways.
You're trying to be the even keel for sure. But I like what Logan brought up in the sense of there's going to be parents talking, right? And I think it does fall onto the parents as one of your jobs to be the buffer between outside noise and what the kid actually hears.
Right.
Right. So I know where we are, there's a lot of hockey drama, and the parents don't always do a good job of being like, just leaving the parent crap in the stands and just, oh, how'd you do, little guy? Like, whatever their goalie's name is, right? It's like, oh, you did good. Like, don't even need to bring up the parents' snarky remarks, right? And then also teach them kind of like water off the duck's back, in the sense of in the dress room, I'm sure there's a few of the forwards or defense that are make a snarky remark here or there. Just learning how to cope and live with that, right? Just, yeah, okay, that's their opinion. Everybody's got one. Who cares? They don't know what it's like to be back there, right? They haven't seen the game from my side.
I've always kind of looked at it as like an individual sport within a team sport. It's kind of like being a quarterback in football, right? Like you're on your own and everybody else, like the rest of your team does
their
whatever
job.
They want. Right. Yeah. And the forwards can skate around. They can miss a check or they can miss a whatever, or the defenseman can miss an assignment and whatever, but it all comes back to you, right? Just kind of like a quarterback does. Like if you throw an interception, like it doesn't look good. And if you let in a goal, it all comes back to you, right? Like, and I think that's pretty tricky for, and especially at like the younger ages, like I think that's pretty tricky, and especially when you get into like that intermediate to advanced level, right? Because it's all reflected on you,
like, yeah, and you wear it and you got all these new emotions that you just don't know how to cope with yet internally,
right.
But like, so it's, I think it's the parents' role to be the buffer between what people are saying, negative and positive, because you don't want to get too high, you don't want to get too low, right? You're trying to teach your goalie how to stay that even keel of feeling confident and continuously needing to develop, kind of thing, right? To keep getting better and better and better. For the goalie itself or themselves, I think parent plays an important role in this age because you have to keep them hungry. If they've had success, it's really easy to get complacent, right? So you got to keep them on their toes in the sense of, I don't know a great example. Like my personal example is my dad waking me up at 6 a.m. saying, hey, there's kids in Russia training, and that's who your competition is. Well, it's not my competition in the next 5 years. They only became competition when I got to college or junior hockey, kind of, right? But there are other goalies out there. And if you're the best in the town, then you have to zoom out, right? If you just are playing for the love of the game, great. Keep that. And just winning's fun too. Like, we can't kid ourselves here. Even if you're playing for the love of the game, you still want to win to a certain extent. So it'd be nice to be a little bit better and keep getting a little bit better so you keep winning, right? Am I out to lunch on that one?
No, not at all.
Let me just turn off my heater. Anybody have anything else to add for intermediate level goalies and goalie parents?
I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think the biggest thing is just, I think the one thing that you definitely, that Logan said was how it comes back on the parent as well. So it goes both ways, like but being a buffer, but also like as a parent, like you can't take that stuff personally. Like I know my mom literally would sit on the other side of the rink or like go to the lobby or things like that. Like I don't know if there's similarities with that, but it's just like, because now you're not even hearing it, and now you're just, you know, it's nothing personal against any other parents or whatever, but it's just a way for you to, you know, when you see your son or daughter after the game, it's not even in your head. You just got to watch the game and they did great, win or lose. And, you know, like, and then kind of on the other hand, like what you said, Mike, if they are very successful, it's like, okay, well, you need to, you know, don't get too high, keep working, you know, look at Johnny over here, you know, in the town that's an hour away, like he's playing at a higher level than you, kind of thing. And then you're the same age, like, you know, comparison can kind of be the devil, but I think it's good in a way of like pushing yourself to be better.
I think a couple things that I missed in my little rant there too is kind of like what Logan said. It is a very individual position in a team sport. Whether you're too high or too low, or you're doing really well or doing really bad, it's a team game. right? Team, whole team needs to be there to win. Whole team needs to be there to lose, right? So if you feel like your goalie's getting a little too arrogant, hey, it's a team game. You didn't do that by yourself, right? If you feel like your goalie's getting a little too negative and kind of in the dumps, hey, it's a team game. You didn't lose that game by yourself, right? Just make sure that they're staying consistent with that. And another aspect of the mental game is teaching the controllables, right? What can you actually control in the game? What can you control away from the rink, at the rink, everywhere, right? And the only real answer is yourself. You can only control yourself, so that's the only thing you need to focus on, worry about, right? My opinion.
Yeah, I think kind of on that, and I feel like this could have went in last week's episode about, you know, what to work on and stuff, but, you know, most parents don't watch practice anyways, but I think at the intermediate or advanced level is, you know, ask your goalie how practice was and really try to actually talk to them, because practice habits are so, so important for confidence and for feeling better when the game actually comes.
Yeah.
So if you're trying hard and working on those skills in practice, your confidence and, you know, just your general like belief in yourself is going to feel better than it will if you're standing up for every shot in practice.
Yeah, just don't let them say good. How practice go? Good.
Yeah.
Next. How's school? Good. Learn anything? No. It's a whole other rant, though. All right, last one. Advanced. So this, for me, would be like U15, U18 goalies kind of thing. Right? Logan, you want to take this one off?
Yeah, I think this is where it gets trickier. Because now you're at a level where you know that you're pretty good, probably. Definitely with the U15s, now you've got the Bantam draft, WHL draft involved, and you're thinking about that. Then as you move up to kind of like the U18, now you're into junior camps, spring camps, tryout camps, however you want to phrase it, and you're looking to move up, right? Whether that's junior B, junior A, WHL, whatever. So I think it gets a little bit trickier as you kind of move up and as you advance through the ranks, especially at a higher level. Now you've got expectations, I guess. And maybe your parents have expectations, you know, and it kind of goes into that, okay, well, if I can play in the BCHL or if I can play junior A, wherever, that means that I can get a scholarship. Or if I can get drafted by X WHL team, that means that I can, you know, go play there and get schooling paid for. So I think it's pretty dangerous to have like expectations as a parent for your kid. You know, they might turn 17 and just say, I don't want to do this anymore. And they might have all the talent in the world. And that's totally fine, right? Like, that's okay. So, yeah, I guess it just kind of turns into not having, like, the expectation that your son or daughter is going to do X, Y, and Z. Right? Like, it's fine. Like, maybe they decide that they hate hockey. Like,
yeah,
that's totally fine.
It sounds like you're kind of saying take a little bit of a step back and give them the reins on their hockey career.
Right.
And they'll make it what they want it to be.
Exactly. And you can have input 100%. Like, input is totally fine. But not trying to like steer them in a certain direction, right? Like,
like don't sign them up for like 16 junior B spring camps,
right?
If they don't want it, yeah,
right,
that's fair,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like, expectations is so dangerous because at those two age groups, like, people start talking about WHL and people start talking about junior in college. And it's still 3-4 years away, right? Like, when you get if you get drafted into the WHL, that doesn't mean you're going there. You still have a year, 2 years until you're even eligible to play in the game.
Right.
Right. And in juniors, like, you have until you're 20 to get a scholarship. Not a lot of people get a scholarship before they're 19. Right. So, like, don't, just because it hasn't happened yet, don't put the pressure on. But I'm kind of like thinking more about the goalie right now. For the parent itself, like, just make, I think, like, it might have been a way less or like behind the scenes than I ever thought it was. But my dad kind of kept me not on the right path, but kept me relatively engaged in training when it was during off season, just by little like cues here and there. Like, there's one year he made a workout plan for me. He goes, just try it out. Like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but why don't you just go try it out? That's what I learned. So I went for the whole summer. I honestly, it was probably the most fit of my life, or was in the best shape of my life. But like, it was just like little things, like, just kept me kind of going in the right path. I lived in Vernon, so like, I could have easily just gone to the beach and hung out. Like, it was before I was working age, but no, like, just kind of kept me going, kept me on the right path. I also had a crazy neighbor who's been on here before, who's kept me engaged and working out many times. And I don't know. So like, I would say when you're 18, 19, like, yeah, let the kid be the kid. Don't put expectations, but make sure that they're not, if they are making a stab at it, complacent for sure, or going into that social aspect of just trying to be cool, I think, right? Yeah. Like, hey, is this what you want to do? Don't worry about whoever else. Like, do you want to make hockey a thing? Yeah. All right. Like, make sure you put some time and effort into it as well, especially during the off season. I don't know how I got on the off season topic, but.
Yeah. No, the only other thing that I would add there is, you see all these, you know, hotshot forwards that are scoring 100 points for the Penticton Bees or whatever, and getting scholarships at 17 years old. Well, goalies, for the most part, I would argue, don't really mature until they're 18, 19, 20 years old. So you're going to be a little bit late, unless you're somebody exceptional. But for the normal person, you're not going to kind of get into your, I'm not going to say prime, but you're not going to get into rhythm, your junior prime window until you're kind of 18, 19, 20 years old. So there shouldn't be those expectations when you're 15, 16, 17. Like, it's just not really a reality for most people.
Yeah. And one game doesn't make or break it, right? It's exactly the consistency, right? Like, I got a scholarship because of consistency, right?
Right.
Billy got a scholarship because of consistency. It was 3 years of playing juniors or 4 years of playing juniors, seeing you consistently either get better or stay the same, sort of thing.
Right. Right.
If you have one exceptional year at 17, 18 years old, yeah, you might get signed. But if you have two really bad years after that, you might get dropped.
You're going to get dropped. Yeah.
Right. Billy, what do you got for U15, U18 advanced goalies?
Yeah, I got quite a bit here. I think like 15, 16, 17, 18. So like second year Bantam to, or U15 to, you know, U18, midget, whatever you want to call it nowadays. But I think the one thing for me is definitely ask questions about junior camps and stuff. I think, you know, yeah, if your kid, if your son or daughter want to go to, you know, these camps, don't just, like you said, sign them up for, how do I word this? It's okay to sign them up for a few, obviously, like it's good experience and stuff. But if you, there's six to choose from, don't just go, oh, let's just pick these three because they're the closest. And I know, you know, money and things matter, but experience really matters. And, you know, I ask questions, ask, you know, hey, do you really want to go here? Do you really want to do this? Is this where you want to go? Oh, maybe you've talked to this coach. Yeah, it might be 5 hours away, but the coach is really interested in, and is really actually like, seems like a good guy, you know. In junior, things can, you know, you can bounce around a bit and, you know, have different experiences for sure, and be told that you're going to be signed and not signed and dropped and traded, and things happen all the time. But when you're first starting out, I think going somewhere where you're going to feel comfortable is really, really important. If you're just going to, and even just going to camps just for fun, I think is, say it's your hometown or something, I think that's a good experience to go to. And then as a parent, you know, actually, like, say, or then I guess what I was going to get into is, if a junior team is offering to sign your son, or if, you know, a NCAA team is offering to commit your daughter, chances are they're going to be really excited about it, and they might want to do it. Or, you know, this happened to me, and I don't want to say I regret it, but I think I wish I asked some more questions, or talked to people about it when I made this decision. I was going to team, they offered to sign me, there was three goalies there, and I kind of just made the decision on my own, literally like within like 20 minutes, that I wasn't going to play there, and called some other teams and ended up signing somewhere else. And, you know, it was fine, it worked out. But looking back, I wish I maybe would have called my mom or dad and been like, hey, like, what do you think I should do here, kind of thing. And yeah, that's on me. But I guess my point to that was, like, my mom or dad were on, they were almost too, like, oh, he'll just do it on his own and he'll be fine, I guess. So it's just kind of finding a balance of, like, I don't even think my mom knew I was in, like, where I was at the time. Like, she knew I was at a camp, but I don't think she was really, like, worried about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just think being in communication and being like, hey, how did the camp go? What, you know, are they interested? Maybe things like that. Being in communication. I don't really know, like we said, none of us are parents. So I don't know how you go about that. But just because, you know, maybe looking back, I'm almost 100% sure my mom would have been like, hey, why don't you just give it a try, see how things go, and then, you know, instead of just making like a rash decision.
Yeah.
And
you were a very independent teenager or late teenager, right? So you might have a little bit different take, because like, I definitely, everything I did, I talked to my parents about, but because we had that understanding of the network, like, we just don't make rash decisions, right? Like, everything kind of needs to be thought out, and it's not what's best for me right now, it's what's best for me down the road, right? Like, there was one time I asked to get traded at juniors. It was the only time I ever got traded. But it was really, I asked to get traded one of two places. One was the island, and the other one was North Okanagan. And it was the only time that I was like, no, I want this right now, kind of thing. And I ended up going to the island because I knew I was going to go to Nanaimo to play. And my junior B rights would have gotten transferred to somewhere close, kind of thing. Because I knew where I was, there was no junior A teams interested in me. And I talked to my dad, and he told me, why don't you come to North Oak? You can live at home. You have a goalie coach that's right on the team. Like, we know him, we've worked with him. And I was like, no, this is better for me right now, right? looking back, I think going North Oak would have been better. I also didn't really want to live at home. Definitely a free spirit, but it's one of those things, like I tried to look in advance to see, like zoomed out, see big picture, have those hard conversations, made those decisions, and I'm living with them, right? It is what it is. I don't regret it, but I do think I would have been in maybe a different place if I went somewhere different, right? Keeping that open communication and being a soundboard and just being able to have a conversation with the goalie, what, like, down the road kind of stuff, right? Like, where do you see yourself? Have a goal, have a long-term goal. Okay, are you still on track, right? Because if they're 18, it's totally out of your hands with what they do in their hockey, in the sense of, okay, you wake up, you go to work, what do they do? Are they putting in effort, right? If you're still putting in more effort into their career, there's a huge problem, right? That's where, like Logan said, the expectations come into play, mm-hmm. right? And it's a dangerous thing.
I think if
I have a kid, like, I would be like, okay, this is your job. Like, ask me when you need help, or I'm just going to check up on you and see if you're improving. And if you tell me you are and I don't see it, actions speak louder than words, right? So they're going to make it what they want it to make, right?
Yeah. I think for me, like, that's kind of, you hit the nail on the head. Like, I was pretty independent. I wanted it, and I definitely, I was fortunate enough to play for a pretty long time. But with kind of, yeah, just like you said, like, just being a soundboard, being someone that they can talk to, because like Logan said, you're kind of like the quarterback, you're on your own. And looking back, like, you know, I can't go to my forward buddy and be like, oh, you signed here and that's awesome, and like, you know, because at the end of the day, they're in a completely different spot than any goalie is, because like Logan said, goalies develop later. And you know, there's, you know, if you're at 18, you know, there could be like it's 10-1, for example, like forwards or defensemen being committed to schools than like a goalie, you know, like goalies are, like we've all said, committing at like 19 or 20. So I think it's really hard as a goal. I don't think I realized this until later ages, but as a goalie, like, you are a little bit on your own as far as, like, you know, it's kind of hard to go to your buddies who are playing forward or defense to be like, oh, like, what do you think I should do? Because they, you know, they're going to tell you, oh, you should come play here or whatever, but they've never been in that goalie's position, you know? So just having some like, your parents have been with you your whole life. They probably know you pretty well. They know what you like. They know what you don't like. They know what you want, for the most part. Obviously, it's not always 100%, but I think just being like, well, in the past, you've said that you've, you know, really wanted to be close to home, or you've really wanted to play for a coach that is willing to, you know, commit to you right now, kind of thing. Or you really, you know, you've wanted to push yourself in a way where, you know, you want to play at the highest level. So say a team in Saskatchewan is offering you a tryout. Just go. Because there was times where I had that too, you know, and I was.
He was rambling.
Okay.
Well, that's getting cut, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's got a good point. Like,
he does. I think for U18, I think it's more be the voice of reason, especially if you're having success. Yeah. And if you catch your kid kind of slacking, then I'd say kick him in the butt a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's their decision what they want to do. Right. And anybody can say anything, but actions are louder than words.
Yeah. Yeah. And just not getting like too involved, right? Like,
yeah.
Sorry, I was just saying, just go. You know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So
don't be scared to just go and try. That's my biggest thing. Encouragement and communication.
I think the biggest takeaway in all three categories, again, that's beginner, intermediate, and advanced, is it's more the off-ice communication. One, how you're communicating. Two, what you're communicating across all three age groups or categories, right? So the beginner one's encouraging. It's making sure they're having fun. And like Billy said, make sure you have the right equipment. For intermediate, it's learning the mental aspect of the game. What's your controllables? Like being the buffer between parents, coaches, even sometimes, and teaching your kid or your goalie how to cope with like the internal snickering, maybe we will say chirping, right? I'm sure no one means harm by it, but words can hurt sometimes. And goalies tend to not be not softer, but they hold on to it more. I think it's harder for them to let
100%.
It go because it's not like a player in the sense, okay, you do your 45 seconds and then you just forget about the mistakes you made and you're right back on, right? We're sitting on it, we're dwelling on it, whatever. And then for the advanced group or the older group, it's more, okay, letting them make their own path, right? Like you've done your job, they've made it, they've gotten there. Now they have to step up as well, right? Like going to the junior kind of discussion, junior camps, and that might be a whole other kind of podcast topic, but do they want to go or are you just signing them up, right? And if you are signing them up, talk to some parents that might have been through it. Like, what can we expect? What can we and can't we do? Like, do we call the coach and ask how many goalies are going? Do we go to the closest ones? Do we go to the furthest ones? Like, what's the best path to action here, right? And if a junior team or WHL team is interested, be excited, but then also be the voice of reason. What makes more sense in the long run? Okay, are they just kind of waving something in front of you, being all nice and shiny and, oh, this is exactly what I want, or does it make the most sense, right? Read between the lines, especially with junior coaches, right? So that's how I think the best way parents can help, right? Making sure the mental piece, it's really just the mental piece that we've talked about, just formulated a different way, right? Making sure that's intact and being instilled into the goalie as a person.
Yeah, I'd say beginner, just make sure they're having fun and they're protected. Intermediate, support and like not, and being a encourager, I guess, you know, because there's going to be things in the background. Advanced, let them do their thing. But when it comes to making the big decisions, ask them, you know, to be there to talk to them about it so that once that decision's made, you know, obviously it's still their decision, but at the end of the day, they can live with it.
They have to live with it.
Yeah, that's my take.
Logan?
I don't have much to add to that. I'd say the only thing that I would add there to Billy's point about the advanced guys is you're able to push a little bit more, right? When you know that there might be something there. But in a respectable way and definitely, like Billy said, ask the questions and that kind of thing. But once you get into that advanced category, you're able to push a little bit more, I'd say. Other than that, I think you guys both nailed it.
Yeah. Like, we don't know potential unless it's pushed out.
Right.
The easiest path is kind of the path of least resistance, and the hardest path is most resistance. Hockey, there's a lot of resistance, right? So we have to be able to push through it. And a lot of that does kind of fall onto the parents being able to communicate and help the goalie push forward, forward, right? So anyways, let us know your thoughts and comments. See you guys next week.